Rambam concludes Bruchas Melachim, by doing so concludes Sefer Shoftim, by doing so concludes all of Mishneh Torah, which is in effect Kol HaTorah Kula. The Rambam, very, very end of Bruchas Melachim, points out a very strange phenomena about the future of the world. He references Yimos HaMashiach, and he makes two important points. Makes many important points, but two important points that we're going to focus on for a moment. The Rambam writes that Amuna, in the concept of Yimos HaMashiach, is mamash from the Ikari Amuna. To such an extent that the Rambam says, if a person is not a ma'amin in the concept of Melech HaMashiach, Yimos HaMashiach, B'klal, so the Rambam writes, Lo bishan nevim of Adu Kaifeh, Ola b'levuos Meshe Benu. Not only is he a Kaifeh in Nevuos, multiple Nevuos, Yishayo, Yo, Yecheskel, Teresa, so many places that the Nevi'im speak about the Achras Hayomim and Yimos Mashiach and Kibbutz Golias and the Mishamikdash, all the events of the future. But he's a Kofer in Teres Moshe. And the Rambam goes to show you different places where the Torah itself speaks about Achras Hayomim, it speaks about the concept of Yimos Mashiach, the concept of a future, the concept of Klai's returning to Eretz Yisrael, all of the above. So the Rambam says, even though it's clearly from the Ikari Hamuna, the details of it are very, very vague and deliberately so, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not moiser to us in any shape or form what the essence of Yimos HaMashiach is going to be like. And that's what the Rambam writes, that the Chacham did not have a clear-cut Messiah as to what's going to happen and when things are going to happen, how things are going to unfold. Even some of the things that we usually in our mind like kind of associate with that notion of Yimos HaMashiach. So the Rambam writes, even though there are psukim and Navi that talk about these things, what chronological order things are going to be in, and what's going to lead to what, and what's going to be before when. So it's far from agreed upon. Even such things as Mechemes Gog u'Magog, the Rambam writes, it's not clear what role that's going to happen, that it will happen. That's an avuah in the Navi Yechezkel. But the nature of it and what role it's going to have in Yimos HaMashiach is unclear. Even the role of Eliyahu HaNavi, we always think of Naftali, this week's Parsha, Sagodol, it's not clear, says the Rambam, what the Yom HaGolah HaNavi is. Is the Yom HaGolah HaNavi B'yas HaMashiach? That's the Gemara Nevin seems to take it. Is the Yom HaGolah HaNavi perhaps, according to one side in the Gemara, maybe the Yom HaDin Liyos Lomo, maybe it refers to Pre-Tchis HaMesim, which is Post-Tchis Liyos, very unclear what the role, even these understood components, even these factors that do go into Yimos HaMashiach. The Rambam says it's not 100% clear what's where, what's when. And then the Rambam goes on and says, don't feel bad that you don't have clarity in this, because Kodesh Baruch didn't want us to have clarity. If you wanted us to have clarity, he would have given us clear-cut nevuah, is exactly what they're all about. He says, we have psukim, we have messages that were given to the Nevi'im, but the messages are shrouded in mystery. Therefore, it's not so important, says the Rambam, to delve into the details of it. It's not so important to know exactly what's going to happen when. So it's just, we have to be ma'amin. If we ma'amin, Baruch Hashem is going to happen. And when it happens, then we'll realize, like Muslim afraid, we'll realize this is exactly what was supposed to, everything was, that was supposed to happen, in fact, it played out. This message that the Rambam is telling us about Geula is not only true about the Geula Selava, but the Geula Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the celebration of Pesach, was in a sense the preparation for the Geula Selava. And we find even by the Geula Mitzrayim also, there was a lot of ambiguity. The fact that there was going to be a Geula, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already promised Avraham Avinu years before, there's going to be Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klai Yisrael going to return to Eretz Yisrael, v'doravi yeshuvuhena, v'chein yetz v'chush gadol, the fact there's going to be great glory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was promised, that wasn't a question. V'koy p'kalati yeschem, Klai Yisrael had a Messiah, they knew that there's going to come a Navi, there's going to come a Shliach Hashem, it was going to be Goel then. But they had no idea when it was going to happen. They had no idea how things were going to play out. Even the psukim that had been told them, we just lost them. Yes. Such ambiguity, and the screen went dead. So there was so much confusion, even when they were in Mitzrayim, even the years and the dates and the reference points that have been given to them, the Dorviya Shuvuena, Abba Meir Shona, how do you calculate the 400 years? They couldn't, they were scratching their heads, they couldn't figure out how to calculate the 400 years. They didn't chop 400 years, 430 years, four generations, you know, reduce Shama to a remnant of 210 years. How do you count from Bishmer Psarim, from Lady Sitsa, from the going down to Mitzrayim? Is there gonna be a hard Shibut at the end that's gonna count as extra years? A lot of things that were unclear. To such an extent, Chazal tell us that based on Psukim and Devarim, there were some members of Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Ephraim made a mistake. They jumped the gun a little bit in the Gula. They tried to escape a little bit early. They thought that they had got the numbers right and they got it wrong. And again, this is a theme that repeated itself also for the Gula of post-Bavel. Gula from Bavel was also Shul Gula. It wasn't exactly, you know, on par with the Tzis Mitzrayim in the full sense of the word. But the fact that the Jews were allowed to go back to Eretz Yisrael a second time around in the days of Koresh, days of Ezra and Nehemiah. So there was so much ambiguity. Nobody knew what was going to happen when. There was this magic number 70 floating around and nobody knew when to calculate it from. So that's part of Gula. Gula is a hidden thing. But even though the details of when the Gula is going to happen and exactly how things are going to play out, those things are kind of up in the air. But there are certain yeshivos that agreed upon by everybody. There are certain basic fundamental truths about what Geula is supposed to be that definitely a muskum for everybody. And those aspects of Geula can be found in Yetzias Mitzrayim as the model of the first Geula, and of course as the Ikari Haimuna of what we look forward to in the Geula Asid Lavi. We spoke about this many, many times. Every year we mention that different opinions in the Gemara about how to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipat Yitzhak Mitzrayim, about whether the focus is on the physical, whether the focus is on the spiritual. Masa, the Gnus, the Sabbath, Shabbat, the Gemara quotes two different traditions and we incorporate both into the one. It's not clear there was even really a machlekes, because everybody agreed that both are true. The Masa, the Gnus, the Sabbath, Shabbat, so according to one understanding, you say Avad Mayinu and you culminate with the Vayatzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, which is very physical oriented. And the other one is Bechila of the Vedazav, Yashu Kibana Mechum Vedasai, which is very spiritually oriented. So how do we understand the relationship between these two Geulas at the time of Mitzrayim, and how does it set the stage for us to understand the Asad level as well? So there is a fascinating insight of Abar Benel in his comment on the Haggadah, on the Manish Tana. How many more perushim do you have in the Manishtana? The Abba Benel has a longish vort in the Manishtana. Manishtana, what do you mean? Chol halelas? Every night we have chametz and matzah. Really? Every night? Shebechol halelas on ovel chametz and matzah. So says the Abba Benel, shebechol halelas, there are many times throughout the course of the year where we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And rightfully so, we bring a carbon toida. Abot Tzrich Lahodos. Whether that statement of Abot Tzrich Lahodos is going on the carbon toida, it's going on Birchas HaGomel, Machlokes HaRishonim. Is there ever really a chiyuv to bring carbon toida? It's always just the bavin and the nedava. That's already Machlokes HaRishonim and Maseches Menachos. But definitely there is a parasha in the Torah of a carbon toida. And a carbon toida is made up of multiple things. There's an animal. It's carbon shlamim. It's also made up of different loaves of bread, and not only bread, chametz matzah. There were 30 loaves of matzah. Different matzahs baked a little bit differently. Some of the chalos and the rikikin and the vulas, different parts that are matzah. Then there are 10 of the chalos that are chalos lechem chametz. The 10 of chametz. So Rabbi Benel said, "So briskevort, so kochim dekasha, shebechol leil son ochel chametz matzah." Whenever we want to celebrate some great, Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know how to bring a Korban Toida. And the Korban Toida is made up of Chametz HaMatzah. Some wonder Korban Toida we have here. We have so many opportunities to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were Yatzeh Beis Asurin, or Yodei Hayam, and literally Yodei Hayam, and Hochemid Baruch, and Chol Shes Rappu. We have all the wonderful opportunities to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One would have expected that the mitzvah Salayla would have been to be a Korban Toida. I would have thought that the most opportune time throughout the entire year is to bring a Korban Toida, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his chasadim, is the Ashkenar Pesach. That's the wonderful time. And somehow, The Korban Toledah is brought, quasi, the Korban Pesach brought. It's also also kashrut and kalim. And there's a bread, so to speak, that accompanies it. There's matzah, yom yichluhu. But something's missing. All of a sudden, something's missing. There's no chametz on the table. Rightfully so. So what's going on? Why is it kula matzah? Why is this korban taita different from all other korban taitas? I love this kasha. I love this beer in the manishtana from the barbanel. So it's such a great question. The question is, what's the answer now? What's the teretz? So he doesn't say. Barbanel doesn't say what the teretz is. So the chasam sofer writes what he thinks the teretz is. So he thinks the teretz is that there are actually two different models of karbonos that are very, very similar to one another. One is the karbon toid and the other is the karbon hamiluim. When the kohanim become kohanim, when they're to do the aveda, so we go back to Parshas Tetzava, and then it actually repeats itself in Parshas Tzav. It's interesting, Parshas Tzav is always Shabbos HaGadol. Unless it's a leap year, it's always going to be Shabbos HaGadol. So the Torah, both in Tetzav and in Parshas Tzav, delineates what goes into the karbon hamiluim, and it's strikingly similar to a korban taida. There's an animal, there's an el hamilum, there's an asher shlom that's brought, and there's matzahs that accompany it, and all the matzah that's brought for a korban taida accompanies the el hamilum, and then poof, all of a sudden the Torah stop, there's no chametz. If you bring chametz for the el hamilum, it's a disderais, lo sefer chametz. You're not allowed to bring chametz for the el hamilum. You bring solus chalos b'los b'shemen, kikei b'tos b'shemen, v'solus b'veches, chalos b'los b'shemen, 30 minus the 10 of chametz. So says the Chasam Sefer, the answer to the kasha of Manishtana is, why is it that we bring a korban toida all year long, and tonight we dafka don't bring a korban toida, we bring a korban miluim? The answer is as follows. That korban toida is brought to celebrate a physical nes. First, that experience is a physical yeshua. He's yatsa beis asurim, he's yodei yam, chabid baris, chosh yisrapis, some physical great kindness is bestowed upon him. So he has to bring a korban. So the korban has a certain tzura to it. On Leil Pesach, that's true, that there was a physical gula, there's no question about it. But the question is, what was the role of the physical gula? What is the role of physical gula in general? Chakira, what's pshat in physical gula? Is physical gula an end in of itself? Because Baruch Hu took it out, it's an end in of itself not to be in heaven. That's a good thing, not to be in heaven. That in of itself is a good thing. Or is not being in heaven a good thing because ki libnei Yisrael avadim, 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 avadim. The reason why being an avid to somebody else is no good because it's a chisarn in your avdas Hashem. So comes the Chasam Sofer and says, it is obvious that the role of the physical geula is not an end in of itself. It's not the self-dover. The goal of the physical geula is to enable you to experience a spiritual geula. How in the world are you going to be an avid Hashem if you're building pyramids to borrow? How in the world are you going to have a Shabbos, a Yontif, daven, put in tefillin, and siddle in Torah, Yom Halayla, if you're Meshubat Min Lefar Mitzrayim? So Kiddush Baruch has to perform these grandiose miracles in the physical realm to set the stage for a Geula of Ruchnius. If all you had was V'yatzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, and there was never a V'yashav Kivana Machum Avedasai, so then the whole goal of Yitzhak Yitzhak would have been missed. The whole point of Yitzhak Yitzhak would have been missed. Says the Chasam Sofer, a carbon toida is the carbon that's brought for Olam Hazeh. The carbon of Meluim is the carbon that's brought for Achshav Kevana Machom HaVadasai. When a person becomes a Koyim, the person is this Chadish to become a Koyim, Hashem is Barach, the carbon that's brought is the carbon of Meluim. The carbon of Meluim is Matzah. The carbon of Meluim is not Chametz. We dafka don't bring a korban toida tonight. We dafka bring the korban miluim to indicate that the self dover, the real goal, the real accomplishment of Leil HaSeder, the real accomplishment of the Geula of Pesach is the accomplishment of Ruchnius. Kashrus is very, very important as setting the stage for Ruchnius. So it's in this light that the Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Malachim, echoes the thought that he already expressed back in Hilchos Tshuva. Way, way back in Uchas Tshuva, I'm sure we spoke about this many times in the past also, the Rav in Uchas Tshuva poses a very, very famous question of his. He poses many, many fascinating, hashkafic and Jewish thought questions in Uchas Tshuva. One of the questions that the Rav poses in the end of Uchas Tshuva is that after elaborating upon Elam Haba, Ayin LaRos LaKim Zlo Secha, and telling us how we don't really know what it is and we'll never really understand it because we're it's Kula Ruchnias in nature. That's the Shittas of Rambam, Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly that is all about. But at least according to the understanding of the Rambam, Olam Haba, the open Tzchar, is Ruchnias in nature, and Tzchar Mitzvah Vaya Malaika. And the schar that we have in this world is not really schar. The real emes schar is the asa lovely. So the Rambam poses the question that doesn't seem to be borne out by the psukim. The psukim in Chumash many times speak about beautiful, wonderful blessings of this world. There is an entire pashas b'chukaisin, an entire pashas kisavon, an entire pashas b'hayam shemoa, and countless times that the Torah promises us that we're going to have our sheep and our cattle and our grass and our rain and our peace and everything's going to be great. We're going to be rich and everything's going to be wonderful. It olam hazeh. And none of that seems to be in sync with the notion of how do we understand that? So the Ram comes up with the following idea. The Ram writes that all the parshas in the Torah that speak about Olam Hazeh as being results, brachas Olam Hazeh being result of Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So the Ram writes, none of them are really b'teres char. It's not that this is the reward for mitzvah, says the Rambam. This is what enables us, it gives us the ability to go to the next level. This is what enables us to continue in our quest for Torah mitzvahs. Because if not for Hatzlocha, the Olam Hazeh, it would be very, very difficult for us to be Matzlich. In Olam Haba, it would be very, very difficult for us to be Matzlich in Ruchnias if we don't have that Hatzlocha in Gashmias. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us in Parsha Shema is, "V'nasati v'ta'aretzichem v'ito," this is not the reward for being Avin Hashem. Habola ta'ar m'sayinus, once a person starts a certain mahalach in Avin Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them along the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does whatever is necessary to push them, to support them, to help them, to grow in the next step of Ruchnius. All the brachas of Olam Hazeh have to be understood in that light as not an end in of themselves, but as a means to an end, the means to the end being being Ruchnius. So Hatzlocha in this world is a very, very good thing, as long as it's understood as a means to an end, not an end in of itself. So the Rambam repeats that thought in the end of Uchaz Malachim as well. And the Rambam describes, Yimos HaMashiach, so the Rambam describes also a strange phenomenon. Says that on the one hand, Yimos HaMashiach is described in the Nevi'im as days of great Hatzlocha in Olam Hazeh. Is going to be free. There's not going to be an issue with Malchus anymore. We're going to have wonderful brachas, and the rain's going to fall, and the animals going to be prosperous. Everything's going to be gevaldik and meridik. We'll be very, very successful. It's going to be beautiful, wonderful physical blessings in this world. And at the same time, the Navi also describes the Molard's Deyas Hashem. It's going to be a time of great knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be a great time of Torah and Mitzvahs and Kedush V'tar and Avodas Hashem and Avodas HaKabonos. All these beautiful things. How do we understand those two brachas that are promised us, Yimos HaMashiach, going to be? So the Rambam writes, it's not a steer. He said, one is the prerequisite for the other. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the next stage in history, the Yimos HaMashiach, to be days of Molard's Deyas Hashem, he's going to create for us that framework, that model, that all the brachas of Olam Hazeh, which is ultimately why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all these brachas in the first place. Why did he create such a beautiful, wonderful world? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want a beautiful world, why did he create a beautiful world? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want there to be prosperous and blessings and Aisha, these things in this world, why did he create it for? Of course he wanted. Of course these are good things. Of course it's good that we should have brachas in this world. Of course we should have peace and health and prosperity. Of course those are good, very, very healthy, good, positive things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to us. Why should we think those are not matanas? The matanas tovus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided that they're there for the purpose of Malach Deyas Hashem. So the godless of Yimos HaMashiach is going to be, even though we don't really understand how every single piece of the puzzle, and we shouldn't be expected to, and we shouldn't waste our time trying to figure out every piece of the puzzle, but the basic tzura that it's going to be a geula in the realm of Gashmias and a geula in the realm of Ruchnias, that's Emes Lamid. That's the kernel of what Yimos HaMashiach is all about, and that relationship of it's going to be the geula and the Gashmias is going to set the stage for the geula of the Ruchnias as well. So because I'll say, Ein Bein Yimos HaMashiach the Olam Hazeh the Shivin Malchias. Shivan Malchias is all the negativity and all the things that come with the klolos of golos and Shivan Malchias, all that's going to be overturned, and then Memeil it's going to be a world of Malards Deyas Hashem Kamayim Liyam Chasim. So that model has its roots back in Yetzias Mitzrayim, just as all the geulas for eternity are pattern, the model, the after Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's exactly what happened in Mitzrayim. That's what we recount. That's what we do when we sit down to Lala Seder and we tell over two stories. We start with Avraham Avinu and then we quickly segue into Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Avosenu. We're not telling two different stories. This is the same story. The Avraham Avinu sets the stage for Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Avosenu. The Yetzias Hashem Mitzrayim sets the stage for Ve'achshem Kivonah Mechumah B'dasa. So wish everybody, as we end off this chiddush of the Zman together. So Baruch Hashem, we had a wonderful continuation of the Zman. It's always hard even to know when the Zman begins and when the Zman ends. You know, we don't really, a little bit of a different calendar breakdown. But I think Kli Yom Pligi the Pesach is a certain end of a certain tkufa. Baruch Hashem, some years after Pesach, we are very, very short. Some days after Pesach, we have a couple of days in Gemara. This year, Baruch Hashem, we have the longest possible. I don't mean this in the wider sense of post-Pesach Zman. This is still the real Zman. So we have, Baruch Hashem, a good couple of weeks of steiging away until we reach the next stage of our Zman. So Mitzvah Hashem, looking forward to continuing many, many of the, hopefully Mitzvah Hashem, more beautiful, wonderful sugyas. We, as I mentioned a couple of days ago, so we have a whole series of shiurim and sugyas related to topics of Birchas HaMitzvahs, Shastika topics, other topics. More Dina Mamas are still stuck in there, here and there. And Mitzvah Hashem, we still got plenty to go. So a lot of atzlach everybody on the Bechinas, and I wish everyone a chakosh v'sameach. We should come back strong and healthy, Mitzvah Hashem, right after the Yom Tov, whenever that is, Mitzvah Hashem, to be able to come back.